Good morning to each and every one. Thank you, Rodney. That is really not the topic of my lesson this morning, but I will say a few words about it as I continue through my lesson. Once again, I'm using something that came to me through my web, and I thought it was interesting, and it said a lot of things that I think that we need to be thinking about, and so I kind of picked some of the things out of it, and hopefully I can say some things about them that will benefit us. The topic of it, isn't it strange? There are some things that I'm going to mention to me that also reflect our faith and our love. And to me, I think that everything that we do in our life reflects upon our faith and our love for Christ. After all, we have to do is to please Him. You don't have to please me, but we have to please God and Christ. And because of our love and faith, or lack of it, we continually make statements as we go out throughout our life. Every place that we go, we make a statement. And it also makes a statement to Christ and those we associate with in our everyday walk of lives. So often we see people doing things or saying things, and we wonder maybe just what they're thinking, or perhaps there are individuals that profess to be Christians, and yet we wonder what they are thinking about, or what the teaching is, what they're grounding their faith on, and so forth. So see if these things that I'm going to mention don't in some way affect you. Isn't it strange how a $20 bill seems like such a large amount when you give to the church, but such a small amount when you are going shopping? We just laid by in stores, we have been prospered. As Jason mentioned, there's a lot of, I guess I should say, there isn't too much that's said in the Bible concerning our giving. That pretty well leaves it up to us. And if you remember right, when John was here, we talked quite a bit about our giving. But isn't this kind of true? If we be truthful, isn't this kind of true when it comes to giving to the Lord? We kind of maybe have just a little, want to kind of hold back just a little bit. You know, under the old law, they were told to give 10%. And I've often wondered how in this day and age, how you would arrive at that particular sum, as far as the different diversified lives that we live and the different jobs that we have and so forth. If you were a farmer, I could see where that would be pretty easy to take care of, but being we all have different occupations, and some of us are retired, so to me the burden rests upon our shoulder, but we have to decide what we are going to do about our giving. I don't think the scriptures, what little we read about the scriptures, I don't think the scriptures are there to make us feel guilty about our giving, but help us to decide if we are sincere in what we give. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that Christ loves a cheerful giver. And I've heard the expression used, give until it feels good. And I'm not saying that's easy, but I guess every time that we give to the church, we should feel good about it, because we never know what's going to be accomplished because of our giving. Isn't it strange how 2 hours seems so long at church, and how short when you're watching a good movie? Movies not being a part of my life, I guess maybe I really can't relate to that, unless it's something that I happen to pass by as I'm going through the channels on the TV. But some things that I can relate to is sitting at a ball game on a hard bench, the sun bearing down upon you, and you're sitting there sweating, and yet you're enjoying that game, and you're probably going to sit there maybe for 2 hours or more just for something that you enjoy. The other thing that I think about is being at a football game and sitting there maybe all bundled up, once again maybe on a hard bench, and enjoying it. But yet a lot of times I think we come to church and we sit down and it seems like maybe 2 hours is an awful long time. Maybe we become bored. I think that this is something that we can think about, something that we can relate to. You know, it's funny how Satan works on us when we are in church. We're wanting the time to fly so we can go out and do our thing. And to me, really, this should be the best time of the week for us. Our fellowship together as we assemble ourselves together. What I think about, I guess, is a song in our songbook. It's on page 97. We're not going to sing it, but it's the where it says, and the chorus, I guess, mainly says what I appreciate, where it says, give of the best to the master, give of the strength of a youth, clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of the best to your master. What is your best? Is that the thing that comes first to you when it comes to giving your best? We need to give the best at all times, not just part of the time, all of the time. Isn't it strange how difficult and boring it is to read one chapter of the Bible, but how easy it is to read 100 pages of a popular novel or a Zane Grey book? You know, as we go through life, we see a lot of people carrying around a book or some kind that they read. Most of the time it's just a novel or something perhaps to pass the time while they're maybe waiting for that doctor to come and check you over or whatever the case might be. But how often do we see somebody actually carrying a Bible, or how often do we carry the Bible with us? When I stop and think about this, I guess the verse that comes to me, of course, is 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I guess I'm of the conviction that that's probably one of the verses that's probably going to condemn us because of the lack of our studying. There's no way that we can go wrong if we take this verse to heart. No way can we go wrong. The Bible contains the only formula for getting to heaven, and it's my responsibility to know what it says. It isn't your responsibility for me to understand what it says. It's my responsibility to know what it says. And if I don't, I guess I'm to blame. There's one other thing that, as far as studying and reading the Bible and understanding the Bible, there's one thing that I'm very concerned about. And it seems to me that we are drifting. We're drifting farther away from the teachings of the Bible. We're drifting farther away day by day. Since I become a member of the church, I can see many things that have changed. And I don't think they've made a change for the good. And that's, to me, is the reason why we need to be studying and understanding what God's asking of us and what He's requiring of us. I don't know how many of you get the gospel message, but Doug Tordell has written an article about respect for the church. And to me, he pretty well hit the nail on the head as far as that is concerned. And if you can get a copy of it, or you know where you can get a copy of it, please look at it. Because it's, to me, I think it's some things that are very serious and that we need to consider them. Isn't it strange that you can't find a word to say when you are praying, but you have no trouble thinking what to talk about to a friend? How true this is. It's very easy to, when we see somebody, to carry on a conversation with them, to talk about the weather, to talk about things in general, to talk about, I guess, a big thing that we think about, at least I do a lot of about, is the war that we're engaged in and whether we should be there and how we're going to get out of it and so forth. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We have so much to be thankful for in this world of ours, at least. We can't be in continual praying because we have to be doing something. But as far as our prayer is concerned, we have so many things to be thankful for as we go through our everyday walk of life. I guess the thing that I'm more thankful for is a church, a place of refuge we have to come and fellowship to together, a place of comfort that we can come and study and worship together and get encouragement from one another. And there's so much that is offered to us as far as the church is concerned, and so we need to be praying for the church that it continues to be strong and healthy and have good leadership and so forth. because of the country that we live in, and we know that we have the freedom that we enjoy from day to day, and I guess we have no way of knowing whether maybe someday that will be taken away from us. We need to be praying for that, that we enjoy the freedom that we enjoy from day to day, and that it continue to be such as it is. What we have and what we are promised if we continue to be faithful. Isn't it strange how we need to know about an event for the church, 2 to 3 weeks before so we can include it in our agenda? But we can adjust to it for other events in the last minute. When I think about that, I think about another song in our songbook. That's number 142. And once again, it seems to me it's a chorus that stands out, where it says, "I'll put Jesus first in my life, in all that I say, in all that I do, throughout the world of toil and strife, by day and by night, through trust in His might, I'll put Jesus first in my life." There are many things that we come across in our everyday walk of life that can cause us to not put Christ in our life. There seems to be, for some reason, many things that interfere with us. It's remarkable what Satan can do with us when it comes to placing temptations before us as far as different activities and so forth that may cause us to do something other than what we should be doing as far as the church is concerned. Once again, by being together, we have our fellowship. And to me, this is one of the times that we are putting Christ first in our life when we assemble ourselves together such as we are. But we know that we can't be together all the time. We have to go out into the world and mingle, so we have to be careful that the world doesn't influence us. And to me, this is one of the things that I feel that is happening, is the reason because we are drifting is because of the influence of the outside world. So my admonition again is, study to show ourselves approved unto God. Both of these songs that I used, if you notice the heading at the top of the and the scripture that is used is Matthew 6 and 33, which says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." By putting Christ first in our life, all these things can be added unto our lives, and I'm certain they will make us stronger in the trials that we face as we go through our life. We need to remember that Satan's never going to give up on us. He's never going to give up on us. And any time that he can tempt us, that's what he's going to try to do. As I said before, Satan is always tempting us, and it seems as though that for some reason, Christ always interferes with us with the things that we like to do. That doesn't sound good, does it? But there are many times and many things that maybe we want to do, and we should put Christ first in our life. So the thing that we have to do is make choices. And the thing that I fear is, a lot of the time, the Lord loses. Isn't it strange how difficult it is to learn a fact about God to share with others, but how easy it is to learn, understand, extend, and repeat gossip? The chapter that Rodney read for us there has to do with our tongue. You know, the tongue is a wonderful tool. What would you do without it? And from time to time we see people that are unfortunate in that way. And our tongue is such a blessing unto us. And God gave it. God gave to us, when we were created, this wonderful tool that we can use on our everyday walk of life, but it also can be used in the wrong way. And that's when it gets out of control. And from time to time, we do let our temper get away with us. It also says in the other chapter that in John there, or in James, in the 19th verse of the first chapter, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." It's said that we have two ears to hear with and one mouth to speak with. Some people say that there is a reason for that. Maybe there is. James just doesn't mention our tongue in the writings. He is very strong in his warning. And this in James 2 and 26 says that if any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The scriptures tell us that our tongue is hard to control. But the many things that, and the harm that we do when we let it get out of control can be very bad. Is it strange that the Lord should be first in our life and everything else second? Really, I don't think it is. And I hope that we think about this every time that we've got a decision to make about the church. Whether we are putting Christ first in our life. And that pertains to everything that we do. Everything that we say. And I believe that it even affects everything that we wear. Whether we're putting Christ first in our life. Is Christ first in your life? Is Christ a part of your life? Have you accepted Him into your life? If not, why not? There's no way for you to go wrong if Christ is in your life. Taking the necessary steps to be baptized and to walk in newness of life and to let Christ direct your footsteps and your life is a wonderful thing. And if we do it according to the scriptures, I know it's something that nobody would ever regret. If we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our closing song.